So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight. Oh.
So, take a look.
Is this gonna work, Way?
I hope so.
I hope for the viewers' sake that this sounds better, Way, because I hope this is the only time we have to do Review Away this week. Last week we had three starts where we did two complete shows, and then our second show, we realized quickly that it was not working. So this is take one right now, and you have once again changed around the audio equipment here in the beautiful Fight Network studios. So what have you done for the viewer at home right now that's listening on their iPod?
Well, listeners, what I have done this time is use our set of handheld wireless microphones so that hopefully, I think a lot of the problem lied in the cables that ran from the studio to the mixing board. So now using wireless technology, we are hopefully going to improve and perfect this audio.
And what is the adhesive you have used to connect the microphones here to the microphone stands? What is that you've...
This particular technology is called a plastic tape. And I've used...
You have taped a $600 microphone to a mic stand.
I've used tape.
We have, like, Scotch tape here that you've used. So this is quite the invention here by Wei Ting. All for you guys out there to listen and have it crystal clear in your ears.
Yes.
So what's going on, Wei?
Well, aren't we here to do a review?
I just wanted to catch up and see how you're doing.
I don't know why you suddenly ask me. You've never asked me that once before.
I'm curious.
In the whole however long we've known each other, you've never asked me once, how's it going, Wei? It's always business with you, but I'm glad you asked. I had a good bowl of soup earlier today. I pulled a muscle recently.
I heard this. You were there. Yeah. This actually is work-related because you were supposed to go to Chicago last weekend, and you were sidelined.
Yes, with an injury.
A pulled muscle in your back?
A pulled muscle, yes. How I had injured myself earlier was, as you know, John, I occasionally do the yoga, but my legs are, my hamstrings in particular, are very not flexible.
Oh, yeah.
So I like to, that was just a text message.
That was your phone.
Tried to do was while watching TV, I would use like my belt and just kind of sit down and try to do stretches with a belt, just to stretch out my hamstrings. I think one time though, I did it a bit too far and I just ended up pulling a muscle in my back somehow. And while shoveling snow, I seemed to re-aggravate that injury. So
sounds terrible.
I really fucked myself up.
So you were like on your back for like a day or two.
I was still mobile. I just the doctor recommended me. I don't do too much though, so I just stayed at home. Booked a dentist appointment. Did that. And watched this amazing show.
Yeah. Well, I had an injury too last night. Way I was chopping up some vegetables, and I sliced my finger.
Really?
And it bled for 2 hours last night. I could not get it.
2 hours?
It was really deep. Like, it was one of those, you know, where you're on a cutting board, and you're cutting down, and it went down really hard and went right through my finger. And I realized, it's like that momentary second before the pain sets in that, look what I've just done to my body.
You know what you need?
The slap chop.
The slap chop.
This wouldn't have happened if I had the slap chop. Instead, I've got a... skin dangling from my finger here, and it has begun bleeding again, as you can see here. It was a bad business to deal with. But that's the injury update from Wei Ting and John Pollock.
We've just wasted 5 minutes of valuable
podcast
time.
No, we're connecting.
Time.
I think a lot of the listeners, Wei, they might add us on Facebook. But, you know, who are the men behind these profile pics?
They do not give a shit. They just want to hear us talk about the bad wrestling. They could care less about our personal lives.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our review now. By the way, it's Wei Ting and John Pollock here on the latest edition of Review Away.
Before we start, earlier I brought this issue up. I just wanted to reiterate it for our audience. Every time I listen back to this podcast, I notice a huge shift in energy level from the end of Live Audio Wrestling. And then to the start of this.
Yeah, you pointed this out to me on Monday this past week about this energy drop. And then
huge.
You were just
drop.
Staring at me very weird after you said this. I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. Do you want to address this? And I responded, do you want me to ask Dan and Jay to be less energetic? No. I mean, maybe we should be more energetic to start so that it evens out a bit more. And I was confused as fuck by what you were talking about. So I said, yeah, we can talk about it. And I left. So why don't you explain further?
Well, I mean, I Dan and is just like brother. And then you got the music going out and it's just high energy.
Well, we have that great intro
I made in about two minutes one
afternoon.
You got the intro, and then it just...
Do you want me to make a new intro, Way?
Like a flat line.
Do you think we should have a new intro? Maybe music comes in under us? Would that help?
So maybe the intro will sort of be slightly lower the energy level? You mean like it'll be like a sloping type of trail?
Maybe we'll have some of your independent label shit to... bring us in.
What? I think you're making fun of me.
Your stuff is very calm, and some of it is. I mean, some of your stuff.
I'm addressing a serious issue with our podcast right now, and you're using it to make fun of my taste in music.
I'm not making fun of your taste in music. I'm just saying you have a lot more unconventional music, which might lead into your unconventional approach here. I think a lot of people, well, you have a certain charm about you when you come on here. I think you and I, we kind of have an unpolished charm when it comes to our Review Away podcast.
Okay.
I think you're someone that people generally relate to, and I'm someone that most people don't relate to. You're the connection to the audience, Way. I think they like that. It's like they're hearing one of their own here.
I don't buy that at all.
Well, maybe some people can leave their feedback and talk about our energy levels here on Review Away and if they're consistent with the law, because it does come on right after the law.
Very, very.
Is it jarring for you? Or if you're on a bus, maybe... You know, you have to do a double take when all of a sudden you go from the extra with the Green Day cover into Review Away. And all of a sudden you're hearing Jennifer Lopez and Waiting For Tonight.
Yes. Maybe suddenly you're just on a high, and then this will be the come down. This podcast is the come down after the high.
Maybe you're fast-forwarding this to when you hear the words, Starrcade 1994 took place.
Yeah. It's been 8 minutes, and we haven't started this yet.
So. Well, we've covered a lot of ground already. But we did want to do Starrcade 1994 this week.
Hold on a second, John, actually. Before we actually go into this podcast.
Are you going to check to make sure this is recording?
Stop and just check to make sure.
Okay.
Why didn't you talk to the audience while we... Well, you know what? Oh, I'm just going to pause it. Never mind.
Okay, now, Way has... you won't notice it because of this editing, but we actually just... took a break for 3 minutes, and Way, you check the audio, and how does it sound?
Sounds perfect. Sounds amazing.
Really good?
If you guys have any bad things to say about this, then you can go fuck yourselves, because you can't fuck with this audio right now.
Perfect. So let's get into the review now, Way. It's Starrcade 1994, and we wanted to do this because Hulk Hogan is all over the spotlight right now. He was in Toronto this past week doing every imaginable media outlet you could envision, and I listened and watched, I think, every single one of these interviews.
Well, almost every imaginable media outlet.
That's right. He did not make it onto the Surf on Byte TV with Jason Agnew, and it was a very difficult night. And maybe actually you were there in the studio, Way. Mm-hmm. I was not. I was downtown doing my own interview with him for the Fight Network. I imagine it was pretty chaotic that night.
Yes. Well, as you know, as some of you may know, I'm a cameraman on the Surf. And I was in the studio the very moment that Jason Agnew received the phone call from the booker, the agent with Hogan and Jimmy Hart. And I got to say, it was one of the most heartbreaking scenes I have ever witnessed. Just to hear Jason, who basically spent the past month
planning for the show,
hyping the hell out of it on Byte, on the law, on everything that he has, and just at that moment, crumbled right in front of us.
Yeah, I received a text message, actually, just like 10, 15 minutes after my interview, saying that... there's a notice on Byte that Hulk Hogan is canceled because he was sick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my heart just dropped because I felt horrible about this because I just interviewed Hogan and he was sick as fuck when I interviewed him. Like, he was coughing and hacking, and I've actually edited most of those coughs out for the, because we're going to air a portion of it on The Law, which you've just heard, and then the whole thing airs this Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Fight Network, and it's a lot of editing to try and get these coughs out, and he was not in good shape on that on the Tuesday night that we interviewed him. So it was very unfortunate. Jay put a lot of time and promotion into that show and money, and really sucks. 5 minutes before I think they were to go to air, you guys got the word?
Yeah, the thing is, we actually recorded that moment when he was on the phone with the agent, and she told him no. So you might be able to see that someday on the surf.
I'm sure we will. So that brings us to Starrcade 1994 away. 15 years ago, and it took place from Nashville, Tennessee, and my tape apparently didn't get all of Starrcade because we started in mid-entrance, I believe.
No, I watched the whole thing.
With an intro video? And
I watched not only the intro video, I saw a preview for the Super Brawl 4 VHS.
Oh, I just didn't rewind it then all the way.
Oh, my God.
I thought I'd rewound it, and I pressed start, and all of a sudden, Vader's walking to the ring.
John, you are a professional journalist, wrestling tape reviewer.
I'm not used to rewind anymore. It's the DVD age way. You shouldn't have to hit that stuff.
You could have missed.
So why don't you start us off then and tell us about this? Because I didn't start watching till the entrance of Vader down the ring. I thought
you missed some very important parts of this show.
I'm sure I did.
It starts off with just a shitty little video highlighting all the matches that come out, that are happening on the show today. We are started off with RCA recording artist Aaron Tippin singing America the Beautiful.
I missed this?
Yeah, you missed this.
Aaron Tippin?
Aaron Tippin. Have you heard of this artist?
No, never.
Aaron Tippin.
It's always introduced in wrestling as not musician, recording artist. When are they ever referred to as recording artists outside of a wrestling cameo?
It's like a professional wrestler, or sports entertainer.
Right. Recording artist.
RCA recording artist Aaron Tippin, who's this country music guy, and like, looking at this guy, he could not look more like your typical fan from Nashville. It's just this dude with a mullet, a skinny guy with a mullet and a huge mustache, for some reason wearing a Tampa Bay Lightning
in Nashville?
Jersey. Yeah, Nashville.
Made no sense.
So he sang, and then Macho Man, we learned that Macho Man is going to confront Hogan tonight. We see his little interview from WCW Saturday Night, and then we go to the first of many PW Insider honors for the show. The PW Insider.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Are you sure?
PWI.
Oh, sorry.
Well, PW Insider,
what am I thinking,
is
dude?
A website.
Yeah, okay.
With our pal Mike Johnson.
PWI, yes. PWI honors Hulk Hogan for being the 1994 Wrestler of the Year as voted by the fans. So they have a press conference, and you see Bill Apter from PWI there giving the award to Hulk Hogan. For basically, he talks about his accomplishments that year, among them going undefeated in Europe during his whole trip, beating Ric Flair, basically just, you know, like this is a completely kayfabe award show. I looked it up, actually. Number two was Bret Hart that year, number three Razor Ramon, and number four Ric Flair.
Wow. And these awards are a thing. I want to go back here. You stated that Randy Savage did a promo on WCW Saturday Night. You see, I did not see that. I was of the impression this was Savage's debut, and they were teasing his debut throughout the whole show for his big appearance at the end. They gave away his appearance for free on the pre-show?
No, this was his first match?
This was his first appearance with the company.
Are you sure? Really?
I'm almost positive.
Okay, well,
so I believe he worked the Survivor Series the previous month for the WWE. No, he didn't. That's not right. We reviewed the 94 Survivor Series. 93 he would have been in. But I'm pretty sure this was Savage's first appearance with the company.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was on WCW Saturday Night, basically promoing.
Was this that night? Did they say earlier tonight, or was it a previous
Saturday
night?
It said WCW Saturday Night, so I would assume that it was Saturday night, unless they
his first appearance was on a pre-show.
Well, it was like years ago when the NWO went back to the WWF, they showed them on the Heat.
But you know what? I didn't mind that because it was right at the end of Heat where you saw them walking to the ring and you knew that they were about to start the pay-per-view.
Okay.
And I thought that was smart because people watching, if they were not going to order at that point. The last minute of Heat, you've decided if you're ordering or not. And if you weren't about to and you saw that, chances are you might just hit buy.
Okay, okay.
And that was a horrible event, by the way.
Anyway, yes, notable for this time in WCW, late 1994 WCW, were all the recent signings of former WWF guys led by Hogan. So we got Savage, we got Hacksaw.
Brutus, Nasty Boys.
The Nasty Boys, Beefcake, Jesus. Earthquake. Even
too much.
Heenan and Okerlund, and they all play, basically, they run this show. So,
let's go to the first match. It's Vader and Jim Duggan. Jim Duggan defending the United States Championship, and we go to a promo by Jim Duggan in a parking lot. And I don't know what he said.
I missed that.
Yeah.
He was in a parking lot?
It was during his entrance, and they cut to a pre-taped interview with him.
Oh, I must have fast-forwarded.
It was this stupid thing they did all night where they went to these pre-match intros as they were, or these pre-match interviews, and then they had post-match intros after the matches. Like, it was such a post-produced show.
All right.
It didn't feel live.
So what happens in this match?
Well, let's go over my notes, Way. I wrote, oh, I'm reading here, Harley Race bump into the corner. I'm like, who did the Harley Race bump? And then I realized Harley Race was in Vader's corner. Harley Race, I think, was the best worker in this match, Way. He took one of a number of bumps in this match.
Mm-hmm.
They announced that Vader will get a future title shot. Early on, it was all selling by Vader. Mm-hmm. This was strange. Jim mm-hmm. Duggan was about he was being treated like Superman in the booking of this match. I noted that Harley Race at ringside yelled at Duggan at one point and said, "How about now, tough guy?"
Yes.
A nice play on Duggan's catchphrase. Duggan went to the floor. And then took a ridiculous stumble where he just went into a barricade and knocked himself out. Vader just haphazardly knocked him outside. We saw a Vader splash. Duggan got the foot on the ropes. He attempted again, and this time Duggan got his foot up, and Vader delivered a Vader bomb right onto the foot with his testicles going right into Duggan's boot. Then they teased Randy Savage debuting tonight, which... he cannot debut because you can only make one debut, and he clearly did that on the pre-show. Vader missed a moonsault. Duggan had a football clothesline, but Race gouged the eyes of Duggan. This allowed Duggan to recover. He slammed Vader, but Harley Race distracted the referee. Vader threw Duggan into Harley Race on the apron, and Race was carrying a 2x4. And then Vader hit what looked like a glam slam that Beth Phoenix does now. For the win, and wins the United States Championship mm-hmm. way. So he is now the number one contender for the WCW Championship.
Yes. I was actually surprised by how good this match was.
I thought it was way better than I anticipated. Duggan was actually mobile here in 1994.
Yes. They're both incredibly over. Vader is a heel. Vader is fantastic, both in terms of his athletic ability and charisma. Crowd popped huge for the near falls, and we even got to see a moonsault from Vader.
Vader was tremendous, and then 95, they would just beat the hell out of him, and he'd leave the company by the end of the year. We go backstage, and the Butcher, Ed Leslie, is with Kevin Sullivan and Avalanche with Gene Okerlund, and the Butcher has made a tombstone for Hulk Hogan. Out of cardboard, where it says, "Rest in Agony," and it's a tombstone for Hulkamania that Ed Leslie is going to kill tonight. And Avalanche just lost his shit during this promo and started jumping up and down uncontrollably.
Yeah. Well, what can you say about these three?
Horrible.
These classic, the faces of fear. Sullivan was like 45 by this time.
Jeez, he was that old at that point.
Yeah.
Then I did not know, because I did not see the matches listed for tonight, and all of a sudden, Triple H walks out. And I was... just saying, oh my God, this is like the one pay-per-view match he ever did, and we have it. This is fantastic. I had no prior knowledge of this match before picking this. A lot of that would be the theme of tonight's show, Way. So we have Jean-Paul Levesque taking on Alex Wright, who they billed as Das Wunderkind. Then, as he's coming down to his Eurotrance music, they cut to these two fans in the front row that are dancing. I swear to God, these were two kids that were the prototype for the Ready to Rumble characters. These were the biggest nerds dancing to Alex Wright's theme song that these two couldn't have been legit. Did you catch this at all?
I did not catch it.
Oh,
that.
I almost wanted to tell you ahead of time to make sure you pay attention to the fans they cut to during Alex Wright's intro. Triple H was doing the exact same gimmick he would do in the WWF, like complete with the curtsy, and he was the blue blood. The referee for this match way was Jimmy Jett. I don't know if that was his legit name. Bobby Heenan was on fire in this match. Yeah. He noted that Levesque is going to be a star from 1995 onwards. And then Schiavone, who was not on fire, added, they both will be. Heenan was right. Alex Wright got the roll-up for the fluke win using the O'Connor. After Wright attempted an O'Connor roll, I believe it was reversed. And I just ended this match writing what happened to Alex Wright.
I had no idea Alex Wright was around the WCW this early.
He was what? They said he was like 18, I think, here at this time. So
this was 1994. I always thought he debuted in like 96, 97. But this was surprising because his character stayed exactly the same until 1999. It was just basically
the exact same. He was just this German douchebag with a leather jacket.
Yeah, like a male stripper.
Yeah,
basically.
And he did that wicked dance.
Yeah.
The dance was awesome.
I don't think I even heard him talk until 1999.
No, that's when he became Berlin.
Yeah. So for 5 years, the guy had to do this. But this was a good match. They gave him a lot of time, 14 minutes.
Yeah, they gave everyone on this show a lot of time. Many who did not need it.
Except Mr. T, which we'll find out later.
Oh, yeah.
This started off early with a lot of with the technical sequence, and then they both looked good in the ring. They're all right.
Yeah, this was a fine match. Yeah. And this part into Starrcade, two decent, average matches.
Yeah.
Next up, Johnny B. Badd defending the television title against Arn Anderson. Now, it was supposed to be Johnny B. Badd and the Honky Tonk Man, and I remember Honky Tonk Man telling either me or Jay this story that they wanted him to do a job to Johnny B. Badd, and he said, fuck off, and he left. And that's why this pay-per-view, at the last minute, they had to put Arn Anderson in the spot, and Schiavone basically buried Honky Tonk Man, saying that he must have been scared to fight Johnny B. Badd, and he left, and Honky would never return. Honky was one of the guys that came in, one of Hogan's buddies, and Honky went to Hogan, I think, to try and get out of doing the job.
Wow.
He was not going to put over Johnny B. Badd.
That's interesting because they advertise Honky Tonk Man off the top, and even like after this match, Schiavone says, I guess he'll have to fight Honky Tonk Man now. So I guess we didn't know until afterwards that he was leaving the company.
I guess so, because it was weird in the commentary. Schiavone just buried him, and Heenan was defending Honky Tonk Man. It was great. Bobby Heenan, remember this was 1994 in WCW where, you know, political correctness was a little bit heightened in WCW, if you remember the term international objects instead of foreign objects. Heenan, out of nowhere, when discussing Nashville, Tennessee, stated, this city should have been bombed instead of Hiroshima.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. How could he get away saying that?
Because Asians don't watch wrestling.
Jesus. I just thought, wow, that was quite the comment from WCW in 1994. Schiavone was talking about the referee Randy Anderson and thankfully clarified to us that he is in no relation to Arn, so there would be no conflict of interest. The highlight of this match for me was Ming was in the corner of Arn Anderson in a bodyguard suit, and they showed him at ringside, and all of a sudden the cameraman zoomed into his glasses to show the reflection of the match going on in his sunglasses, in his early 90s giant sunglasses. This was fantastic.
This was the highlight for you? I was going to say, like, what would have been the highlight? Him just standing there? Because that's all he did in this match.
Take us through this match, Wynn.
I just wrote good match.
Okay, I wrote head scissors by Badd. Arn kept tapping. Arn work over Badd for majority. Roll up by Badd for win. Almost the exact same finish as the last match.
Yeah, pretty much.
This match was okay, but it was long.
It could have been a lot worse, but I thought they both worked very well. Arn Anderson, excellent, and let's move on.
We go back to the PWI Achievement Awards for 1994. They already had announced Hulk Hogan was the Wrestler of the Year. Now the Tag Team of the Year way, the Nasty Boys.
Wow.
And Bobby Heenan stated, "The Nasty Boys winning Tag Team of the Year is like giving a Cindy Crawford Beauty Award to Roseanne Barr, which could not be more on the mark."
Mm-hmm.
The Nasties do their thank you speech and state that they will be the Tag Team of the 90s. They lied.
Well, all I kept thinking during all these awards was just that is this a preview of the new TNA? Will we be seeing these exact same people on
and
TNA?
The return of Bill Apter and Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
Yes,
maybe there'll be a global impact to give out the awards for 2009.
It could be.
Next, Harlem Heat comes out with what was her name? Sensational Sherry. She was what, Sister Sherry?
Sister
in this?
Sherry, yes.
Sister Sherry.
Yeah.
And she comes out in a dress with some cleavage, and Heenan notes, "Look at the size of those guys. They get bigger every week." I guess.
Clever.
Subtle. Mr. Heenan talking about Sherry's boobs. Then we went to a pre-taped interview with Booker T and Stevie Ray. They said they'd win. Then the Nasty Boys come out, and yes, we're getting Harlem Heat against the Nasty Boys, who came out to the theme music, which consisted of the lyrics, "We're the boys, we're the Nasty Boys," and they sing this song. They are horrible singers. They should not be doing their own theme music. someone noted in this match that it's been a warm winter because of Harlem Heat. Then Heenan had a good joke. He said, "What do you call a woman with $2 million, Way?"
What?
Divorced. No? Because they got it from the man. What was the best part of this match, Way? Because I hated this match.
Okay, this starts off basically as a weak, typical Nasty Boys brawling type of match. Then at some point, there was a bit of psychology thrown in there from the Nasty Boys. They begin working on Stevie Ray's arm. And you know what? This was actually kind of impressive for Jerry Sags and Brian Knobbs.
I missed this.
Only problem is, Stevie Ray, in the middle of all this, tags into Booker. And then Booker comes in. And the Nasty Boys continue working on Booker's arm as if he was the same guy. So I don't know if they just forgot that somebody tagged in or what, but they basically...
They lose any points you gave them on psychology. I would love to say I paid more attention to this match, but I didn't.
They do the same spots, the same arm spots, which basically had... It ended up having no effect on the rest of the match. Stevie Ray fucks up a guardrail suplex on the outside. Harlem Heat regain the advantage in the match, and they unleash a variety of rest holds on Sags. Knobs gets the hot tag, and there's a really shitty hairspray spot with Sherry.
This is bad.
Sherry climbs up the apron and then goes to spray the hairspray at Knobs or whoever. Knobs moves out of the way, and like you get a full 2-3 seconds where it looked like Sherry almost intentionally was spraying Stevie Ray in the face now.
No, it was just a blown spot.
Yeah, it was a blown spot. It ends up being a DQ when Sherry splashes Booker by
accident.
After
like 60 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. This was
so long.
Stupid. This match was very lame. I'm not a fan of just aimless brawling, and yes, it was way too long. This was the longest match on the show at 18 minutes.
18 minutes?
18 minutes, yeah.
Who the fuck books these four to go 18 minutes? Jesus Christ. Shivani noted that, "I hope the tag team champion Stars and Stripes are watching this." And I noted, "I hope they're booked on this show." And they were not. The tag team champions were not on the biggest show of the year. But the Nasty Boys and Harlem Heat 18 minutes when they could have gone 7.
You have the tag team of the year and the Nasty Boys, John. That's,
well, who
that's
the fuck are Stars and Stripes? Who was that? Marcus Bagwell and was it Scotty Riggs? I don't know.
I don't even know.
I don't know. After the match...
they give Sherry the pit stop.
Yeah, the pit stop, which used to be called Pity City. And then in the post-match interview, Booker notes that they're going to turn up the heat 10,000 Harlem Heat degrees. Which I don't know what that translates to from a regular...
There's a different scale. They don't use the metric or the...
Yeah, maybe it's equivalent to a Stovall unit.
Or Calvin.
Yes, Calvin's. Brian Knobbs states after, "When you come to Nastyville, you'll get nasty-sized." Clever. What a play on words. Sting receives the most popular wrestler of 1994, and he cuts this interview where he thanks the fans of all different colors and creeds. And then we cut to an interview with Sting backstage where he cuts the exact same interview with Gene Okerlund.
And he even says it. He's like, I'm going to call out to all my Stingers with the hair and the face paint, just like I said at the award show.
Horrible continuity. Why did they play both of these? And back to back, no less. Back to the ring, and Gary Michael Capetta, who announces the following score-settling encounter is scheduled for one fall. And
can I describe my viewing of this?
Yeah, go for it, because okay. I didn't know what was next.
Okay, yeah, me neither. So we see Mr. T walking out for whatever reason. He walks out wearing a striped shirt, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, so he's a guest referee, just like the many times we've seen him in the WWF.
Yes.
This was a complete surprise because they made absolutely no mention of Mr. T whatsoever at the beginning of this. And then he gets in the ring. Kevin Sullivan's already there. And then they ring the bell. And I'm like,
I freaked out.
What the fuck? He's actually wrestling? So now we have Mr. T versus Kevin Sullivan.
With a combined age of probably 90 at this point. Holy shit, dude. When he came out, first I thought he was wearing like one of those like nightcaps. Like, he looked like a cartoon of someone in jail. This looks so weird. And then, yeah, he's wearing like a referee outfit and he has a match with Kevin Sullivan. This was 10 years after the first WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Zero relevance here. Mr. T delivered some odd headbutts. Outside of the ring, he jerseyed Kevin Sullivan. In the process, he knocked the cameraman over. And then Mr. T tried to pin the cameraman. Dave Sullivan runs out dressed up as Santa Claus. He hits Kevin Sullivan with a bag after he put the, not megaphone, but the Hulkaphone into the Santa's bag. And this allowed Mr. T to get the win, and then Sullivan beat the shit out of Santa Claus after the match. This was horrible.
Mr. T, right after he gets pinned, there's no mention made of him whatsoever. He's a complete afterthought.
How much must he have made for this match?
I don't know. I don't understand why you put somebody like Mr. T on this show and not even mention him once. Alex Wright had more airtime on the show than Mr. T.
This was such a waste. Not that I'm advocating having Mr. T on
neither.
A pay-per-view, but
it just made no
if
sense.
If they spent the money, why don't you at least use him? The value of him is not in the ring with Kevin Sullivan.
Ugh.
We go backstage. Gene Okerlund is with Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Hart. What does that say?
This was an interview.
Oh, they talk about Randy Savage. And the big question is, will Savage shake his hand or spit in his face? If I were Hogan, I would have just gone backstage and asked him. And then Hulk Hogan called the Butcher a cancer.
Ooh.
A cancer way. Next up, Sting against Avalanche. You knew this would be bad. Crowd was dead for this match.
Yeah.
A lot of posing by John Tenta, who doesn't have a physique that really requires a lot of posing to get over.
Who doesn't really have a physique to do much else besides posing.
Sting started delivering a number of low leg kicks, which were working very effectively on John Tenta, which really proved Cecil Peoples' theory wrong from the Shogun Hua Lyoto Machida fight, that low leg kicks don't end fights. Sting was doing very well with this strategy. This was almost a way I noted. It was almost worked exactly like the Hogan-Andre match, where they teased the body slam. There was a long bear hug spot. Then there was a ref bump near the end where Sting went to splash Avalanche, but Jimmy Jett was behind Avalanche. So the Avalanche took out the Jet. Then we got a Scorpion Deathlock by Sting. Kevin Sullivan ran in. And from there, Hogan comes out right before his main event with a chair, and the ref throws this match out. What a bullshit finish.
Yeah, this was a 15-minute long match. I watched it in fast forward and it was still
nothing
too long.
This makes zero sense to me when you have this is Starrcade, which is supposedly the biggest show of the year for the company. And two of your matches you give a combined 33 minutes to, and it's bullshit finishes. Nasties and Harlem Heat and this match. You're basically second from the top.
Oh, and Mr. T.
And that,
don't forget that
bullshit finish.
So, the past three matches.
Why the fuck would you have ordered this show?
The past three matches on the show were all DQs.
Horrible. Then we go back to a video package building up the Hogan and Butcher feud. And it started in the summer, meaning that this got at least 5 months of build behind it. This was very drawn out, very long. It involved multiple masked men, and it involved, I don't even know how
Michael
to describe
Buffer
this.
did the intros again on the show.
Yes, he did. So we'll
it involved way too much Kevin Sullivan. That's like the past three matches all involved Kevin Sullivan.
The Butcher had this weird intro where he walks down, and his hand gesture was just like a tomahawk chop into his wrist. And he just kept doing that. And it made, okay. And then he made these weird facials like he was possessed or something, but he looked like a biker.
Yeah, he looked like...
He might be the worst character of all time.
Well, characters.
Characters. He's just horrible.
Yeah, after this, he went on to The Booty Man and Zodiac.
The Man with No Name.
The Man with
No
Name.
The Disciple.
Jesus. Ugh. This guy, this is someone who's built a career off of being best friends with Hulk Hogan, and unfortunately, he main evented this show.
Hogan came out to the ring, and then they played his theme music.
Yeah, what the hell was that? They played his theme music twice. They did fireworks or confetti twice.
The Faces of Fear ran in. There was a leg drop by Hogan, who got the win. That was the only thing I noted. I don't think Hogan took one back bump in this entire match. This match was like a complete backdrop for the angle with Savage afterwards, and then another angle after that. This main event was like nothing. Imagine this was your WrestleMania main event, okay? It was a 12-minute match. Hogan wins with the leg drop. Then Savage runs in and teases a heel turn because Avalanche and who was it? And Butcher were in the ring, right? And then Savage grabs a chair, and the three of them are facing Hogan, but then Savage turns on them, attacks Avalanche and Ed Leslie, and they join together and they shake hands to end the match. Then we go backstage, and the babyface or the mullet locker room, we're all congratulating Hulk Hogan. Okerlund's back there, and all of a sudden Okerlund asks, "What's that sound?" And Vader comes in to challenge Hogan to a match. A brawl erupts, and Schiavone and even more so Gene Okerlund are disgusted by this. The lack of respect. By Vader coming in and causing a scene to build up the next pay-per-view. Disgusting.
It was disgusting. And you know what? This was probably your main event. Never mind the Hogan.
This angle in the locker room was bigger than the main event. It was given more time, I think.
With the camera shot of Vader's back, because they couldn't get a camera on his face for some reason.
Well, this was a shoot. They didn't want to get in the way.
That's right. So there you have it.
So in your main event, Vader and Hulk Hogan yell at each other. And that was Starrcade 1994, everyone. Wow. This was 6 months into Hogan's run in WCW, and 1995 would only bring more of this joy.
What a difference he made in this product. So what put all your friends on the show and then...
And give them lots of time.
Yeah.
And keep Stars and Stripes off the paper.
So is this what we have to look forward to, John?
I hope not.
Total nonstop action wrestling.
The Nasty Boys cannot wrestle. Ed Leslie.
Hey, but aren't they on that Australia tour?
Yeah, that's true. They were on the Australia tour. Yeah. They very well, I guess, could work. Let's hope not. I give this pay-per-view a 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10, wow. Well, I at least enjoyed the first, I'd say, three matches. I think I'd give it a 5. You know what? That's too kind. 4.
A 4 and a 2, so and it averages out to about a 3 out of 10 for Starrcade 94. So that is Starrcade. We had some feedback for this week, Way. Two emails or posts coming to us. First one from Andrew Jefferson. Great show this week, as always. Maybe soon you could review some old-school ECW, perhaps around the time of their first WWE invasion, which is around 97. And from Carmine. Great show this week, guys. If you hadn't said anything, I wouldn't have known that it was the third take. It was pretty awesome hearing my name mentioned on my favorite podcast. Next week should be amazing because I looked up the card for Starrcade 94, and holy shit, it features Alex Wright versus Triple H. That was my reaction as well, Way. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, it's Triple H.
That was my reaction when I saw Mr. T come out. Holy shit, it's Mr. T.
And he's wrestling a singles match.
Yeah.
Idiots. So, Way, for next week, you've got the pick.
Yes, well, earlier today, John, you informed us that on TV Tonight, which is December 11th when we're recording this, Santa with Muscles will be on CHCH TV, a local Hamilton TV station here. So you will be PVRing that movie.
Yes.
And we will review it next week, Santa with Muscles.
Yes, next week, because that'll be our last show before Christmas. So mm-hmm. we thought we'd finish off with Santa with Muscles.
Starring Hulk Hogan.
And as always, if you have any feedback on our shows, have any questions you'd want us to answer on the podcast, feel free to post them on the official Facebook group of Review Away. We're climbing up with members on that. It's a slow and steady climb every week of a few more people.
Let's see if we can hit 300 this week.
That would be solid. If we can get 300, that would be fantastic. Emails can always be sent to john@thefightnetwork.com, way@thefightnetwork.com. And until next week, Way, what tune should we go out with?
It's your pick.
Oh, is it my pick then? Okay, well, let's go out with...
anything.
All right. We're going to go out with the Nasty Boys theme song from WCW. We're the boys. We're the Nasty Boys.
We're the Nasty Boys. We got a bad reputation. When you see the Nasties coming, better change your direction. Everybody talks, but we know talk is cheap. If you mess with the boys, we'll rearrange your teeth. We're the boys, we're the boys, we're the Nasty Boys. We're the boys, we're the boys, we're the Nasty Boys. We're the Nasty Boys, we're like a real bad infection. If you're ever in trouble and you need our protection, don't call 911, cause they'll be too late. We're the Nasty Boys and we'll rearrange their face. We're the boys, we're the boys,